All right. Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more. In the past, you have stolen. Now that you're converted, steal no more. Rather, let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good. And let him work for this reason, that he may have to give to him that needeth. And then let's go to 2 Thessalonians, one of my favorite passages. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning with verse 10. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Let me read that one more time. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all. These are astonishing words. Paul said, I hear that there are some among you who won't work at all, but are busybodies. They're on Facebook all the time. Now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. We command that all Christians work and earn their own living, eat their own bread. I seldom get on Facebook, but I got on there last night because Dwayne, I think, had put a message, one of the messages here lately on Facebook. And so I got on there to listen to it and make sure he wasn't going to get me put in jail. And to my amazement, I found all kinds of comments about Grace Centers of Hope and Grace Gospel Fellowship. Things like, just because I'm not living in one of your houses doesn't mean I can't get my life back. And then someone else wrote something like this. You are 100 times better than those lifers at Grace Centers of Hope. I got on there and I wrote, well, God bless you. I'm glad you're 10 times better or 100 times better. But I just want you to know I am a lifer at Grace Centers of Hope. Signed, Pastor Clark. See, I believe serving Christ is a lifelong thing. I don't believe you're in and out. And I want you to know that Grace Gospel Fellowship, our church, our message, is all about liberty. Grace Centers of Hope is not a prison for drug addicts. The only people that are going to heaven are lifers. People who have been saved and saved for eternity by the grace of God. They are people that God continually works on and works in, conforming them to the image of His Son. The freest people in the world are Christian people. I'll give you a saying of the Master. This is what we proclaim here at this church and over at Grace Centers. I am come that you might have life more abundantly. Abundant life. I want to just speak to those of you who are Christians. Those of you who are not Christians, you will hate everything I say. We're not ashamed of the gospel here. We are not. And I want to tell you what this church wants and what Grace Centers of Hope is all about. is proclaiming the gospel so people can have a life. There is no life outside of Christ. I mean, just read your newspaper. This has been heavily on my mind. These two young suburbanite kids, two boys that went to Detroit, thought they were something on the end of a stick. Suburbanite drug users went to Detroit and were shot multiple times and killed. Of course, they were in places they shouldn't have been. This world is wicked. Men are depraved. Men and women are depraved. As I get older and study the Word of God and come to know people more, I've always wondered what the Apostle Paul meant. And I kind of felt his frustration when he said in the book of Romans, "Oh, the exceeding sinfulness of sin. Oh, the exceeding sinfulness of sin." This country, this world, has to be burned up. It is just such a wicked, depraved mess. It's going to have to be purged. It is so tainted. It is past repair. It is worse than in the days of the deluge when God sent water. The horse isn't walking anymore. The horse is galloping. We are headed toward the end. Everything's a mess. Everything is a mess. Now, I think probably from what I have heard, the feedback I've got, it seems that since beginning this series on playing church and talking saved, the most opposition feedback that I have gotten, by the way, in a roundabout way, I never get it direct, but in a roundabout way, when I've tried to take taxpayer dollars away from some of you. Now, again, I'm not talking to you folks who don't know the Lord. I'm talking to you folks who know the Lord. Because you're the only one I can reason with. Because the rest of you are unreasonable. You're depraved. Your mind is totally wicked. Your heart is wicked. So you don't believe anything I say. But if you've been regenerated, born again, enlightened by the Spirit of God, when I take the Word of God and show you something, the Holy Spirit inside of you says amen. Oh, there's a part of you, your flesh, won't like it. But the new man likes it. The new man never fights the Word of God. Now, I think I want to do this. I have a $100 bill because I know one of the kids, or maybe a few of the kids, are going to get straight A's. I got this inkling since several have come up to me and said, "You know, Pastor, I got straight A's." What they were doing is putting me on notice. But if Darren were government, let's say Darren is government. Now, well, I know you don't, but I got to play this out. And I trust you with the $100 bill. All right. Now, Don is a drug addict. Not right now. All right. Okay. Just checking because I'm going to get the 100 back in a minute. All right. Don, now government is about to give my $100 that I have worked and sweated for to Don, who will not work. Let him have it. Government is... Government is not hesitant. Thank you, Don. How many of you realize that's exactly what happens? How many of you? I want to see your hands. That's exactly what happens in our country. 61% of the American people's budget goes to entitlement dollars. We're $16 trillion in debt. We're passing out bridge cards and giving away hundreds of dollars to people who can work and won't. And a few years ago, this is documented stuff, a few years ago, drug addicts were considered disabled and were put on disability rolls. Even in New Jersey, there's one account where this alcoholic had his welfare check sent directly to the liquor store next to his house. And so when he went in, it was put it on my account. Those are all true stories. Now, I can feel the burn in here. I can feel the burn. Because you saw what just happened. You saw what just happened. And I'm a taxpayer. I just say this from, it kind of kills my incentive to work hard. When about 50 cents of out of every dollar I make goes to Washington and they give it to fools. I work hard for my money. I do not agree with the President of the United States that we ought to distribute the wealth. I think this, if you work hard, you live in the United States of America, you can make some money. I was thinking about coming over here when I was a kid. This is the way my dad and my grandparents taught me. I used to spend the summer with my grandmother in Carlisle County, Kentucky, and they had cattle auctions down there, but for $5 you could buy a calf, your own calf, and then you'd feed it out of a bottle every morning. So Tutty, my grandmother, told me, "Kenner boy, if you save your money all year, when you come down in June, if you save $5, we'll buy a calf. And it could be your very own calf. We'll put it in a barn and feed it all summer long, and that'll be your calf. You can name it and everything." You know what? I worked all year long getting my little allowance and this and that and doing little jobs. I could not wait till about the 20th of June to take my $5 down to Carlisle County, Kentucky, go to the auction, and buy my calf. I'll tell you this, and I think Darren and our instructors over at Grace Centers are always teaching this. You men, there is no way that you can feel good about yourself if you don't earn your keep. No wonder you're so down on yourself. I want you to be up. I want you to have a good life. I want you to have a little heaven on the way to heaven. But there is no way you can feel good about yourself if you're a man, because God has made you. And inside of you, there is this work ethic. And when that is turned around and you're lazy and no good and not earning your keep, you don't feel good about yourself. You can't. No man who is able-bodied ought to be on welfare. There is no excuse for that. There is just no excuse for an able-bodied man being on welfare. No way. And no way? All right. Thank you. I'm glad some of you see that and know that. You know, there are people who attend this congregation, I know, because who feel that this free money, they call it free money. There's no such thing as free money. It costs somebody. Really and truly, I said to myself last night, this is going to make a lot of people mad. And then I said to myself, you know what? I don't want to make anybody mad. Not really. I want to help somebody today. If you're a child of God here and you're using government as a crutch, you can't be very happy. You just can't. You got to be free from the handouts. In fact, you're not supposed to have your hand out. You're supposed to be giving back. You're supposed to be working so you can help somebody else. One of the greatest fears that I have for this congregation is that we get people off crack, but we don't get them on Christ, and they don't become, as Darren says, they don't get out of the bleachers and into the game. God didn't save you to stay in the bleachers. When He saves you, He saved you to get in the game. You start giving back. You start becoming a little Christ. The greatest servant ever lived was Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't go around with His hand out. He was a giver. Amen. I hope you see that. Let me just ask you this. Those of you that have been saved from addiction, I don't mean you never relapse. I understand all of that. I'm just talking that you have the Spirit of God. I'm not talking to perfect people. I'm talking to people who've been born again. I'm not a perfect person. You're not a perfect person. But you've been quickened by the Spirit of God. Let's just talk about this a little bit. I want to ask you just this question. Why do you feel that you deserve an entitlement check? Now, I'm just asking you who are converted. Why do you feel that you deserve an entitlement check from the government? Which really doesn't come from the government. It comes from us who pay our taxes and then it goes back to you. Why do you think you deserve an entitlement check? Don't answer out loud. Just think about it. Think about it. Think about those of you who have got these entitlement checks. All your life, or most of your life, you've been using drugs. You've been getting entitlement checks for years and years and years while you use drugs. Or if you didn't get entitlement checks, you used your mother and dad who had enough money and who just couldn't stand to see you suffer. And so you went to them with your pity party and they enabled you. You know, our kids, the girls used to say, "We're bored." I used to say, "Oh, you are? I'll give you something to do." Sometimes they would say something like this. "Why do you think mom and dad," I would say, "should do that?" And they go, "Because you're our parents. We deserve this because you had us." That's kind of the mentality of folks. The Bible is very clear that Christians are to work and earn so they can give back. And the person who doesn't work doesn't eat. We've got to get back to that in this country. I just want you to ask yourself and go home today asking yourself this question: why do I deserve Pastor Clark's money that he gave to government in the form of taxes who gave to Don who wouldn't work? Why do you deserve? What makes you think you deserve? Because you're an American? Why is it that you think that? I can feel the heat. On what basis? What have you done that is worthy of $340 a month? Or, let's just take this. I give Darren, government, $100, and he gives it to one of you ladies who can work and won't. By the way, just so you know, old rescue missions were called the workhouse. They were called the workhouse or the poorhouse. And not only did the men work, they chopped wood. And clothes were bought in, and the women worked and sewed clothes. It's historical. But there were no flop houses in the 1800s. There was only poorhouses and workhouses. And a person who didn't work was just looked down on. I can remember when my grandparents, when I was a little boy, were offered cheese and it came in a wooden box. And the government was passing out cheese in the wooden box. Some of you are not that old. What was that called? Vanetta? Anybody remember? Anyway. My grandmother, I can remember her distinctly saying to me, "I'm not taking that cheese. That's government handout." There was a time when there was a basic, especially in the church, a basic thankfulness and pride about working. We've lost work ethic. Even work ethic has gone out the window. Let me ask you this, too. Has entitlement or the writing of checks, the reception of checks, solved your problems? Has the welfare check solved your problem? Are you no longer lonely? Has it stopped your drug abuse? Has it brought your husband back? Have you got your kids back? What has money done for you? You say, "Well, the bridge card has filled my belly." So you got your belly full. Don't you have other needs? Aren't there greater needs than filling the belly? I wonder how many lonely people there are in here. I wonder how many people there are on entitlement that get that money, squander it, use it. You know, some of you ladies who get welfare, you know you spent your money on your nails and your hair. And your cigarettes. Oh, we're getting real today now. We're just getting real. It wasn't filling your belly. It was getting your nails done with those sparkly things on them. You didn't buy your kids' school clothes. I just want you to think about this. So, okay, you got your check. What's it done for you? What's it done for you? That's why government can't fix social ills. A broken heart government can't fix. Only Jesus can do that. Only Jesus can do that. The joy, the emptiness, the peace that you long for, that grand canyon of needs that you have deep down inside of you. A cold check from Washington cannot solve those problems. Only Jesus can in the power of the gospel. That's the truth. It is absolutely wrong to think that writing checks will end the problems of the addict or anyone else. The reason money can't solve your problems is because the lack of money is not your problem. Let me say that again. The lack of money is not your problem. You get drunk whether you have money or not. In fact, your problem goes much deeper than alcohol or crack cocaine or heroin. It goes much deeper than that. There's only one physician that can get down to the real problem. You know this is true. You used to sedate the pain. What pain? I don't know. I don't know what your pain is. We all sedate pain with the false gods. Gods that can't cure us. Gods that can't help us. Gods that can't solve the problem. In fact, you know this to be true. Entitlement money may increase your problems. You know, a guaranteed income definitely produces a reduction in work effort. If you know the check's coming, you're not going to look for a job. Why do you need a job? The check's on its way. More money doesn't bring fathers back to their children. As soon as you got on welfare, did you run back to your family and start buying your kids clothes for school and giving your wife that you deserted? Did you say, you know what, I need to give my honey and my kids all of this money. I deserted them. And they can't pay the rent, and the kids don't have shoes on their feet, so you know what? I'm going to give it all. Oh, no, you don't. You take it and buy drugs and sedate the pain because you left your wife. You deserted your children. So your problem is not solved. Amen. It's getting quiet in here. Entitlement money has not reduced your abuse of drugs or alcohol. Entitlement money doesn't make a more competent mother. When you got your welfare check, did you just instantaneously become this great mom who quit using and just cared for her kids? You say, Pastor, you seem so intense. You almost seem angry. Let me tell you a story. I hear stories like this all the time. A mother, this is several years ago, so you won't know who she is. A mother told me this story in my office. She'd just come into the mission. She said this to me, weeping, Pastor, I've told no one else this. No one in the world knows this. A month before I came to Grace Centers of Hope, I had a baby. I took the baby home from the hospital. I went out to get a loaf of bread and some peanut butter, I think she said. And I left the baby in the apartment. I met up with a heroin dealer, and I didn't come back for 2 weeks. What do you think happened to the baby? The baby died. You see, I am intense because I know the devil's plan doesn't work. You must be born again. It's the only answer. I had a judge come up to me yesterday, and she's going to call you, Darren. She said to me in Rochester, a judge in Rochester, she said to me, and I've seen this judge many, many times, but this is the first time she's ever approached me in this manner. She said to me, you know, I've been hearing a lot about Grace Centers of Hope. And she said, you know, the judges are put in such a predicament. She said, we have these little two-week things we can sentence people to. We can put them in there. And she looked right at me and she said, you know what that is, Pastor. That's nothing but a sham. She said, would you, if I referred people, if I sent people over to Grace Centers, can you tell me a little bit about that? She said, you know, we have jurisdiction over addicts for 2 years. I said, well, we have a 1 year in-house and a 2 year aftercare, but we'll take 2 years. We can work with 2 years. This world, the judicial system's looking for an answer. How would you like 8 hours a day to hear stories just like I've told? Judges hear that all day long. Their ears must feel like garbage cans. They must go home depressed. Sometimes I sit in court and listen to case after case, failure after failure after failure after failure. Some of you have been in drug treatment 16 times before you come to Grace Centers. In fact, many people who come to Grace Centers of Hope have been in all of those places, and as we say around here, we do our work a yard from hell. You know why? Because Grace Centers is usually the last stop. Because mom and dad will pay some money to get you in some kind of, you know, government rehab, and you go in there and they'll give you some more drugs to get you off drugs, and you know, you'll stay a few weeks. Mom and dad will spend $16,000 trying to get you off, and you're no better when you come out than you were when you went in. Maybe a little more confused. How am I talking today? Am I talking all right? You know this is true. The truth is, the social welfare state programs gives you no way out. I'll just say this to you flat out. There is no way out for you in government programs. There's no way out. They do not have the answer. They are not going to help you. They're going to send you a check, and you know that doesn't help you. Human needs are only answered by other human beings. God has fixed it that way. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Bureaucracies do not solve social ills. That's a big word. Government does not solve social ills. You know how social ills are solved? Let me tell you this. You know what you need? You need a neighbor to be a neighbor. The truth is, we need each other. Washington's a long way off from Pontiac, Michigan. And sending a cold check down here does nothing for my heart problems. I got issues. I got problems. I'm lonely. I'm sick. I'm scared. I'm depressed. Some of you are not bipolar. You're lonely. You're depressed. I often say to people when they tell me, you know, I'm bipolar, I go, me too. Sometimes I'm sad, sometimes I'm glad. Sometimes I'm up, sometimes I'm down. Now we come up with this word, bipolar. You're not bipolar, you need Jesus. That's right. That's right. You don't need another pill. You need the gospel. And you can be happy. You know where you came from, what you're doing here, and where you're going when you die if you know Jesus Christ. Providing cure, food cures nothing but hunger. I wonder how many of you had parents, some of you I know, not everybody in here, but some of you had parents who bought you everything you wanted, but gave you no time. You know what I tell to many, many dads and moms? Junior doesn't want necessarily, he wants it, but it's not the basic need. He doesn't necessarily want polo. He'd like to have a mom and dad. You know, I was thinking this yesterday, and I think about this a lot, about I want to be the best papa I can be. And I think about this. I think about, and I'm sure Darren and Amber would appreciate this. I could save for their college education, my grandkids, which to some degree I am doing that. But right now, when Hayden comes over, you know what we play? I'm the baby. She's the mommy. And we've got a mouse up in our attic that leaves evidence that the mouse is in the house. And she calls it Teeny. She calls the mouse Teeny. But yesterday she came into the garage and I heard her screaming, "Papa, Papa, we got to get that mouse." So yesterday twice we went upstairs into the attic, where she swings open the door suddenly and sees the evidence and goes, "We got to get that mouse." We go down into the basement where she has we have a little closet down there. She called her playhouse, her clubhouse. And we play down there. When she leaves, I'm wore out. But you know what? We spend time together. We spend time together. I want to ask those of you, instead of writing on Facebook derogatory things about Grace Centers of Hope, I want to ask you this. Those of you who have been at Grace Centers of Hope and Grace Gospel Fellowship, where would you be if Grace Gospel Fellowship were not here and Grace Centers of Hope were not here? Where would you go? Nobody ever asked you to write a check to Grace Centers of Hope or Grace Gospel Fellowship? Nobody ever asked you to pay for your dinner, your lunch, your breakfast? It's all paid not by government, but by people out there who pay their taxes and then send $5.3 million to Grace Centers of Hope to take care of people they don't even know. They don't even know you. And then you go out there and slam Grace Centers of Hope. They're trying to control our lives. No. I have no desire to control your life. I desire for you to come to know Jesus Christ and get off that stinking drug problem you have, leave the alcohol alone, and get a life. That's all. I just want you to be happy. That's all. You know, withholding charity, and this is what angers a lot of people. Withholding charity at times is a good thing. You know, it's a good thing for a mom and dad to say, "No." Isn't that a good thing? The greatest way you can love your children is through loving discipline. Hayden wouldn't eat dinner last night when Amber came to pick her up. So Amber said, it was killing me, but Amber said, that's the one good thing about being your grandpa. Amber said, "Okay, now when you go to the softball tournament, you're not getting any ice cream because you didn't eat your dinner." And you know what? That was good for Hayden. She's got to learn to eat her dinner. She needs the nourishment. Not candy all the time. Parents who give their candy all the time to their kids. Their kids grow up with rotten teeth, hyper, messed up. You know, withholding charity is sometimes a good thing. You say, well, you know, my child is in the pit. My child, it's good to be in the pit sometimes. You know, some folks have to hit rock bottom. Don't pick them green. I often say to people, or used to say to people, I don't so much now because I'm not one-on-one as much as I used to be, but I used to say to people, go on out there and if you don't die, come on back. When you're ready, because you're not ready yet. You can't help somebody who doesn't want help. You know, if you're not through with crack, you need to stay on out there. Because no use coming in. People come in at Grace Centers all the time just to get their belly full, going to make another run. They have no intentions of quitting. No intentions at all. It's good when an old raggedy drug addict comes into the center, wasted, blistered lips and tongues and messed up and just comes in and says, I'm through. I'm through. That's a good thing. Well, let me tell you real quick. Just four little things here. I'm through. Let me tell you how to have a life. First of all, come to Jesus. Come right now. Come to Jesus Christ. How should I come? Dirty, filthy, knowing you're a sinner? Come to Jesus Christ. Come to Him just as you are without one plea. Come to Him. Trust Him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's number one. Number two, this is what God has done. So we can have a little heaven on the way to Him. Number two, get married. You know, God ordained marriage. God ordained a man and a woman. By the way, a man and a woman who know Christ. Now, all you believers need to marry another believer. Don't marry a heathen. Because it'll be tough for you to live with a heathen if you're a child of God. Don't marry somebody that's using. It won't be long till you'll be using too. So, get married. Because everybody in here is lonely. Everybody in here, there is a natural in you. God has ordained marriage. God has ordained man and wife. God saw it wasn't good for man to dwell alone. Get married. Love each other. Live sacrificially toward each other. There's not a person in here who is not lonely if you're by yourself. You know, one of my greatest fears when I was 25, I got to be 25 and not married, is that I wasn't going to find anybody. I was going to live my entire life by myself. I didn't want to live by myself. I wanted a woman. And believe you me, I got a woman. Have some babies. Raise those children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Find you a church. Get in that church and be a part of that church. And don't miss services. And do your part. If it's clean the restrooms or clean the auditorium or whatever. Or serve coffee before service. Get involved in that church. Get in a good neighborhood. There is no place in this world like right here for you to get in a good neighborhood. Well, you know, I hear people say this all the time. Well, by the way, we've got about four families that are homeowners now that we've got to present keys to here on Sunday. They bought their own house. I hear people say this all the time. You know what? We're going to buy a house, but we're out of Pontiac. I mean, that's okay. I mean, it's a free country, and that's okay. But I'm going to tell you this. There's not many places you can buy a house for $160 a month payment. Do you hear what I said? And a good house that's appraised for $20,000 that will probably within 5 to 10 years, you know, double in price if things keep going well and the economy gets better, which I doubt. But anyway, you have a wonderful, listen, you have wonderful opportunity here to have a life. I mean a good life. To live the American dream. To raise your family. To find wholeness in your heart. To find fulfillment. All I'm saying is this. You've tried government. Now try God. How about that? You've tried the welfare check. Now do it God's way. And see if that emptiness isn't filled. I hope we've reasoned just a little bit together. I hope I've just caused you, stimulated you at least to think. If I've made you mad, at least you have thought about it. And then as you leave here, just ask yourself, why am I mad? I think he told the truth. Just face the truth. I'm no better off than when I started receiving a welfare check. It's the same old me. It's the same old vicious cycle. It's the same old drugs. It's the same old alcohol. It's the same old. I'm still broke. One of the great things this morning is we're going to have Report Card Sunday. You know, that's a thrill for me. To see our kids on honor roll. To see them moving forward. Everyone in here who's had a horrible life with drugs and that sort of thing, you ought to be saying, I don't want my kids going there. And I'll tell you how to assure your kids don't go there. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Bring them to God's house and put God first in your own life. Amen? Let's stand together. All right.
All right, let's bow our heads in prayer. Father God in heaven, Father, we come before you this morning in thankfulness and gratefulness that you're a God that could have just passed us by, that we deserved for you to pass us by, but out of your grace and your mercy, you've stopped by so many of our cell doors and have set us free, that you have the keys to death and hell swinging at your thigh. And that as we've screamed out, do not pass us by, Lord, you have come to us and done for us what we could not do for ourselves. Father, I pray that those here with us this morning who don't know you, that are still lost and bound up and don't know where they're going or what they're going to do, that you come to them, Lord, in the power of your Spirit to quicken them to life and to give them a peace that passes all understanding, that they don't have to figure out everything right now, that they can just rest, be given rest in your gospel, knowing that you're bigger than us, that your thoughts are greater than ours, your ways are greater than ours, and that we can truly sit back and just trust you, that by faith we can walk with you and look to you, Lord, to do what we can't do. Father, I just know that there's people in here who are struggling with that right now, and I pray that you give them that faith right now. Be with us, Lord, as we move forward. In Christ's name we pray, and amen.